This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Hey everybody, welcome to 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. This is a new midweek podcast that we are putting together starting this week. This is episode one of this version of the podcast, and it is very different than our weekly podcast that you may have been listening to that comes out on Saturdays. On Saturdays, my name is David Jesse. I'm one of the hosts of Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, and I'm the dad in that podcast. Tatooine Sons weekly podcast is all about a dad and his two sons, Samuel the Hutt, who's age 16, and BB Nate, who's age 12, sitting around a microphone and geeking out about Star Wars. And so there's some unique things about that that we absolutely love. And I hope that if you haven't checked out that podcast, that you do so. I think it's a lot of fun. People seem to love it. And it gives a different perspective on the Star Wars universe and Star Wars fandom. But the purpose of this midweek podcast coming out on Tuesdays is really for us to get to know others and their Star Wars fandom and get to understand why they love Star Wars, what specific things are their favorite aspects of Star Wars, and then also just get to know a little bit about their lives. So we're getting ready now. This is the first time we've ever done this, so you're going to have to bear with us for the next few weeks as we kind of figure out the right way to make this work. Anytime you start a new type of podcast, there's going to be some kinks to work out. So we're doing that right now with some different elements, different audio issues and things like that. We're Skyping in people for interviews, so I appreciate your patience on that. But what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start up the first interview. The first interview is with Megan Camp, and here she go. This is Megan Camp. Megan Camp is one of our Patreon supporters. She's been one of our cheerleaders on Tatooine Sons since like almost the beginning of our podcast. And she's at our Jedi Master level on our Patreon podcast. So we are definitely grateful for her support and her encouragement. And she's one that we can always count on liking and retweeting anything we do on Twitter. So that makes it awesome. You always know you're going to get at least one like and retweet from her and from Neil. We're always going to get a like and a retweet. So it's so cool. Neil, you know, we posted that first article today from somebody that was contributing. And Neil, I don't know much about Neil, but I think that he's got some challenges that with like technology and stuff like that. It's really hard for him. And he replies back and he's like, when can I post something? And so I'm like, go for it, man. Get it to me. He's like, can I put it like on notes on my phone and text it to you? I'm like, sure, go for it, buddy. However you want to do it. So he'll be getting something to us tomorrow. All right. So we've got 10 questions that we're going to ask Megan to get to know her a little bit better. And so the rest of our patrons can as well. And of course, most of these questions are going to be Star Wars driven. I think that's going to be a lot of fun hearing everybody's answers. So you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. What's your first Star Wars memory, Megan?
Oh, this is a good one. So I had to have been about 3 years old, and my dad started Empire Strikes Back on the TV. And I'm pretty sure it was just like one of those things airing on TBS during the day. And it came on and it actually started a tradition for me. Awesome. So empty toilet paper rolls were like so fun when you're little, right? Because you can pretend that they're a trumpet.
Right.
So I heard the opening like fanfare of John Williams' score. I ran to the bathroom, got an empty toilet paper roll, and I was like, dur, 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 and my dad just like started laughing, and he was like, awesome. Oh my gosh, so cute. So yeah, that's my first Star Wars memory, which that's I think is adorable.
That's awesome. All right, so you got an answer. What's your favorite Star Wars movie? There's a cat behind her now. Hold on. We've got a cat and a dog that are behind her. They're having a fight in the background. I love video. All right. Favorite Star Wars movie then?
My favorite Star Wars movie, and I'm so sorry, I'm a prequel kid, right? I grew up like being able to see those in theaters for the first time. So my favorite is, Revenge of the Sith.
That's a good one. Of all the three of the prequels, that's the best one. So
yeah, that's my favorite one. We went to the midnight showing, and I was like 14. I was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I remember when the prequels came out, the novelizations came out the Tuesday night before.
Weird.
It was weird. And so I remember going, I don't remember if I did this with Phantom Menace, but I did with Attack of the Clones and did with Revenge of the Sith, getting the novelization on Tuesday night and reading the entire novel before the movie at midnight on Thursday night. And I loved both Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith when I saw them in theaters the first time, because everything was informed with the stuff from the novelization, which was so much more depth. And so I absolutely loved them. So, yeah, I remember screaming and yelling, especially on Attack of the Clones when Yoda ignited the lightsaber for the first time. I was like standing in the theater just like screaming to the top of my lungs how excited I was, and then crying when Obi-Wan said, you know, on Mustafar, talking about you're the chosen one, you're my brother, and how emotional that was because of all the relationship in the book. Have you read the books, the novelizations of those?
Yes. So growing up, because the original trilogy was, you know, just like that was just like movies on VHS or like on TBS for me.
Right.
How I really got invested. My first love is reading. I read the novelizations and then I read a lot of what are now like the Legends books.
Yes.
So I have a lot of like EU knowledge up here.
Nice.
I love Mara Jade. So like, so sad that that's not a thing, but it's okay.
So have you read The Last Jedi yet?
Yes.
Okay. So did you think that something really crazy was happening in that prologue at first?
I opened the first page and I went, what? And
I know.
So when you first see Luke in Tatooine and he's with his friends, there's like one girl in the background. I was like, is that her?
I know.
Is that Cammy? And then it all made sense to me. I was like, oh, that's why he used her and not like Mara Jade.
Right. Because that would have just blown everybody up if he would have done that. If he said Mara, oh my gosh. The entire country would have burned down. The Star Wars freaks. So
it would have been crazy.
Now go back. You mentioned I was going to ask this question a minute ago, but you mentioned that the score is what hooked you. Your first memory was the score, John Williams' score. So are you going to watch The Last Jedi with just the score?
Yes. So that is my favorite thing. I love John Williams.
Yeah.
I love him. I love music. I love music scores. I'm a big nerd for all that.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was just, Ryan Johnson tweeted, he was like, oh, here, this is one of the special features. And I was like, sold, done.
Yes, absolutely. Us too. It's funny because Sam is very auditory in the way that he learns and the way he thinks. And he is obsessed with the scores too. And we were driving last week to the Mark Hamill Star on the Walk of Fame. And we had the Last Jedi thing. And he can know like everything that's happening in the movie just by the score.
I'm just like that too.
Yeah, it's so cool. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, so we were at Celebration last year, and you heard what happened there, right? With John Williams.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That was unbelievable. When the curtain came up, and he was standing there with the orchestra, and he started playing, it was the electric in that place.
I would not have been okay. I just would have started crying.
Sam was freaking out. he was like looking at me, he's like, oh my God, that's John Williams! That's John Williams! He's like going nuts about it. So yeah, it was awesome. One of the podcasts, I can't remember who does it. It's Star Wars Oxygen. Are you familiar with that podcast?
No.
You need to find that podcast. It is all about the music. Every episode is about the music. They break it down and they tell stories behind the stories and why they did things. It's brilliant stuff. Sam loves it. I'll find the link and I'll email or I'll tweet it out to you.
Perfect.
You would love that. So, okay.
That's cool. Awesome.
All right. What's your favorite non-Star Wars movie?
Okay. I was thinking about this. I am going to have to go with, this is a really strange reference, but
stranger the better.
Right. So I've got two for you. One is The Road to El Dorado.
Okay. That one's a little bit of a left turn. You're right. Okay.
Both are. Okay. The Road to El Dorado. Elton John wrote the score and all the songs for that movie. Yeah. And I think I was like 9 when it came out, and my dad was afraid that I was going to break the DVD player.
That's so cool.
And then the second one, and they're both animated cartoons, of course. Okay.
Well, that's okay, because you're lobbying to become a Disney princess, you said. So
I am a Disney princess.
There you go.
So. I just need birds to fix my hair every morning.
Now, I worked with an actual Disney princess 20 years ago. I was running a restaurant right after Christy and I got married, and she had spent 6 months at Walt Disney World.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Cinderella. Yeah, she played Cinderella at Disney World. So, anyway. Okay,
I'm too tall for most of them. I could only be Ray.
All right, your second one then. I'm sorry.
The second one is Prince of Egypt.
Oh, love that one.
Also, it was the music.
Music is amazing.
The music is incredible. The story also is my favorite. Any like biblical, like animated movie, I end up falling in love with because the music is usually really good. Yeah. And then it's like, this is a story I know.
I love Prince of Egypt. We watch it every year around Passover time. So, you know, Easter, Good Friday, Passover time, we watch it as a family. So, love that one. Awesome. Okay. Next question. Just favorite Star Wars character.
My favorite Star Wars character.
Don't you say it. Don't you say Jar Jar. Don't say Jar Jar. You're a prequelist. So
My favorite has to be, I'm going to have to go with Padme.
Awesome.
I love her. I love her in the novelization. Leia is a very close second. Okay. Because of the books. Okay. I think that Claudia Gray has just written her so well. And then in this novelization with Jason Fry, I just think she's written so well. I really admire her as well.
Awesome. Cool.
Oh, and my dad wanted me to say that his favorite character is Darth Maul.
Darth Maul was awesome. Killed off too soon, but then it was still strange when they brought him back in Clone Wars. So, although it ended up well. So, although that his Ray Park did a segment at Celebration, a panel that was pretty cool. It was like they did a 30-minute story of that of lightsaber dueling, ESPN thing. That was I guess it was an ESPN documentary, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the stage afterwards and starts like talking about being Darth Maul. It was awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Other than Jar Jar, least favorite character. The least favorite character, other than Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, y'all don't hate me.
Okay. Don't say Han Solo.
I don't love Ewoks.
Okay, that's all right.
I don't love Ewoks. I don't love C-3PO.
Okay.
He really stresses me out because, like, I get, like, the whole protocol thing and I get the whole, like, oh, you know, the kid. I'm like, do you not get it, 3PO? Like, come on, dude. Like, it's all. Just shut up. Bah, you know. Yes.
So you haven't spent any time watching the 40 years of 3PO panel from last year's Celebration with Warwick Davis? It's got an Ewok and C-3PO on the stage at the same time, the whole time.
I know. I appreciate them and I appreciate what they bring. Okay. But if I was putting myself in the shoes of any of the characters, I would be annoyed by those characters. Except for like some of the Ewoks. Some of the Ewoks are okay.
So did the fact that the Ewoks were actually like man-eating teddy bears, that's changed in the last year with the Forces of Destiny and stuff like that? Has that changed your opinion of Ewoks just a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool.
That makes them better.
Although the therapy Ewok idea from Aftermath was a little weird. You know about? Have you read the Aftermath novels?
I haven't. Okay. Therapy. Tell me more.
So there's, but like between every two or three chapters in the Aftermath novels, Chuck Wendig put these interludes, which are totally are like short stories that really aren't have anything to do with what's going on in the book. It's just sort of like, this is what happened to Jar Jar. This is what happened to Lando, this is what happened to, and so it's just like one short story after another. And there was this idea that soldiers from the rebellion that were suffering from PTSD were given therapy Ewoks. It was kind of weird. It's a little weird.
It's kind of like therapy dogs, though.
It is. That's the idea. But then when you realize that they're man-eating creatures that defeated the Empire, but now they just get to hang out with people. It's sort of weird. You gotta admit. So
I get
anyway,
that.
Although we love Chuck Wendig, he's like retweeted three things of us, so we think he's awesome. But anyway, it's been a while, so never mind. I don't like him anymore. All right. Better. Which series? Clone Wars or Rebels?
Rebels.
Why?
I love the story. I love that they're new characters. I think that really excited me because I had read a lot of the legends.
Okay.
And I was ready for just new people, new stories, and how they connected. I really love with this ending of Rebels and how everything's been brought together and how everyone connects across all of the movies. I really love that. I like Clone Wars.
Sure.
Interesting for sure. And I love Ahsoka. Love her.
Okay.
Love Ahsoka. I just finished her novel.
Yeah, what'd you think about that novel?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love her heart for people, like how much she cares. And I love how that story ties into Bail Organa, and like you get to learn a little bit more about like, you know, what was going on before Leia was really a part of anything. She was just a little kid.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
So I really like that. But yeah, no, I'm going to have to go. Rebels is definitely my fave.
So what was your thought of the finale of Rebels, the ending?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I could tell you enjoyed it when we were watching it all, you know, from sea to shining sea. But seriously, like the very ending, the gap to the end of after the Battle of Endor and Ahsoka showing up and Sabine and all that. What do you think about all that? Where's it going?
I really liked that. I usually don't like epilogues. Like I did not appreciate the epilogue that J.K. Rowling tagged on to the end of Harry Potter.
Okay.
But I do think with this epilogue, because we know like the story that comes before Rebels and the story that comes after Rebels, it didn't bother me because you're like, oh, well, now it's like, well, what happened to them? And like, where does this go next? And I love what happened with Zeb and Kallus.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool.
It is cool.
Like, oh, wow. What a story of just like redemption and like hope in that. Like, that was cool. Awesome. And then, where did the Purgles take?
Right.
And Ezra, where are they? And like, I love the relationship between Ezra and Sabine at the end, where he knows he can trust her. And like the last time, like when he like kind of like nods at her, at the end, he's trusting her. Like, you're gonna come find me.
Yeah.
And I love at the end when Ahsoka shows up and you know, like, it's going to go down. They're going to go find Ezra.
So do you ship with Ezra and Sabine? Is that a relationship?
Not for and me, I don't see them. I see them more of like a brother sister.
Okay.
Like thing. I know he had like a crush on her.
Right.
I think that's like kind of normal developmentally, like him getting into my like super nerdy like master's degree stuff. But like developmentally, like that makes sense that he would like have a crush on a girl that he's like kind of near in age with, that he's like with every day. That makes sense. But I don't like ship them because okay. I didn't really see that going anywhere.
Right.
I do, however, big shipper of Kanan and Hera.
Yeah. What did you think about Jason Syndulla? How did you feel about that?
First of all, throwback to the Legends.
Okay, here we go. This might help me.
Yeah, so in Legends, Han and Leia had twins.
Right.
And the boy was named Jason Solo, spelled right. the same way. So I think that's like a little throwback to that. Sure. So thank you, Rebels, for that. And I thought that was really interesting. That like, oh, okay. So like Hera and Kanan, that happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of weird. It felt like, I don't know, for me and watching it, I was kind of like, okay, I get it. But at the same time,
I was thinking about it though, and I was like, you know, when she said, you know, I should have told him earlier,
yeah.
I don't think that she meant like I should have told him I loved him earlier. I think he knew that. I think she probably meant like, oh, I'm pregnant, I should have told him.
Well, you know, from what I understand, that was a theory before the finale, that's what she was getting ready to tell him.
Wow. Okay, cool.
That's kind of weird. Yeah, but that was a very theory. Have you had a chance to listen to last week's podcast yet?
Yes.
Did you like what Nathan had to say about that? The beginning of season 4, they look pretty happy. I was like, what? What a goober. Anyway.
So cute.
Too innocent. Doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. All right.
Well, you know, and like, that's what I appreciate about a kid's show, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that, like, the writers and everything, like, we, of course, are like, okay, we know what happened.
Right.
And especially, you know, like in a time of war and all this other, like when would they ever, you know, like formally get married?
Right, right.
You know, like thinking about all that stuff. And I appreciate that, like, they wrote it in such a way that kids aren't going to be like, what?
It gave parents the prerogative to deal with that however they wanted to deal with it. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's cool. I appreciate that.
All right. If you could change one thing about Star Wars, you would?
I would change probably like parts of like how fandom interacts with people. Because like nothing in Star Wars, I love storytelling. I love the way George Lucas chose to go with the original trilogy first. I think that's just like was a marvel in storytelling. You know, I'm going to give you the middle part of the story.
Right.
Like, that's fascinating to me. I love that. And I think he was so innovative in how he chose to tell that story. So I wouldn't change not having the backstory first. And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't even change Jar Jar Binks. I wouldn't. But I would change, like, fandom because I think it's just so difficult sometimes to interact with people online or in person that are just very like set in like what they think, and they're not open to hearing other people. And I don't know if I could change anything, I'd want to change how we interact with one another.
Yeah, a little kindness, a little perspective. You know, it's not their story. As much as they can have headcanon and speculate, I know there's a couple YouTubers that I remember that got really big during the span between Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and they're just like, I'm done with Star Wars now. And I'm like, you know, you're not helping yourself or anybody else by having that kind of attitude. You know, you can disagree and disagree constructively, but at the same time, be, you know, have some perspective here. This is a movie, so.
Right, like it's fun, and like you get to choose how you interact with it. I think that's the most beautiful part about like literature and art, is that like you get to choose how it resonates with you. And if you don't like it, then like, okay, you don't like it, but you don't have to tell other people that they're bad or wrong or otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue. You know, let people have a difference of opinion on it. That's good. All right, so you're stranded on a desert island and you can only take three things with you. What do you take?
Can I take an airplane and a pilot?
That violates the basic premise of the question, so no.
I'm trying to track where we are with
you're the stranded players. Is the key word on that. So you can't get off.
What can't three get things? Off. Okay. So I would have to bring either Roscoe this dog awesome. Or somebody else with me.
Okay.
Because I am an extrovert and I'm needy. I just need attention.
Okay.
I need people. Awesome. So I'd need at least like one person or like something that would need me to.
Okay.
And then I would bring my Bible because I think I would want the greatest story in the world with me to read from. And I love reading. So that would keep my time occupied and my mind occupied. And then the third thing I would bring with me, which kind of sounds like really lame, but I would bring a full like sewing kit. So like whatever clothes I was wearing, I could make sure I could adapt and like fix all the clothes. I mean, like whoever else is with me.
So you'll have like, a dog with you. You'll have a Bible, which is awesome. And you'll have something to make sure your clothes get fixed if they've got, if they're ripped. But you know, fire or food or,
I can make all that stuff.
Okay. Okay.
My last name is Camp, so I'm
there you go.
Good at camping.
Do you enjoy camping?
I love camping. When I was little, I called it last naming.
Awesome. That's so cool. I hate camping.
I love it. And I'm really good at starting a fire and finding food, knowing what's edible.
So you should just like apply for the next Survivor season, right? No?
I'm good. I don't need to prove it to anyone.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome. All right. For you, how does Star Wars inspire hope?
Star Wars has always inspired hope. All the way back to the original trilogy. Like I said, when I was three, I watched Empire Strikes Back with my dad. And I don't know. It just implies hope with the rebellion and with the redemption of Darth Vader. And even in that, you know, hope that we all can just, even if you are good, like Luke and Leia and Han, and if you're good, like Padme and all these other people, there's hope beyond yourself. All of the good characters and even characters who are, like, redeemed, there are more than just Darth Vader that come through and are on the dark side, and then they choose to be good. You know, they build together worlds and things that are going to outlast themselves and affect people in a very positive way. Even if it's as simple as raising their kids to be kind and considerate people, you know. That speaks a lot.
Awesome. That's sort of what we hope too. So it's awesome. All right, here's the fun one. You know, Star Wars has always got those pivotal moments in the storyline. You've got Luke before the Emperor with Darth Vader getting ready. Does he kill Darth Vader, his own father, or does he throw the lightsaber down and say, no, I'm a Jedi like my father before me and move forward. Or Anakin before the Emperor. It seems like the Emperor's got a way of facilitating these things with Anakin and Mace and the way that Anakin has to handle that situation. And then, of course, in The Last Jedi, we have the throne room scene with Snoke. And after that, when Rey. Kylo are standing there and Kylo is extending his hand saying, "Rey, join me." So Star Wars is full of those pivotal moments where the whole story shifts if they make a different choice. And I feel like in our lives, we tend to have those types of moments in our past. So Do you have a moment like that where you look back on your life and you're like, yeah, that was a moment where I made a really critical choice. And what was it?
Oh, yeah, totally. I have several of those moments, but I'd have to say my favorite one to talk about like how I worked through it and how I made the decision, was when I changed my major in college.
Okay.
I was a double science major, biology and ecology. That's not what I graduated with. And I had 8 classes one semester. So if you know anything about like how college works here in the US, that's quite a bit of classes in a semester. Usually you only have like 5.
Right.
So I had 8. And I was an RA, which is a lot of responsibility. So kind of playing mom to like 20 freshman women. I loved that. And then I also was like Bible study leader for my sorority. I was involved in a campus ministry and I was in leadership there. And then I was in leadership in my church. So I had all this stuff going on. And I was not doing as well in school as I could have done. And it wasn't because I was distracted or I didn't have time to do any of these things. I genuinely, and I'd always been good at math and science and all these things. I genuinely was just like hitting a wall. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what is happening? So I prayed about it for a long time. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, God, what do I do? I wanted to get a degree in biology and ecology, move back home, work at the Tennessee Aquarium for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Went there on my honeymoon. So.
Right. I used to work there.
Awesome.
And my stepdad still works there. Awesome. So I love the aquarium. But like, that's what I was going to do. And I was never going to change my mind because, you know, I'm like really, really stubborn. And then I was meeting with one of my mentors at church and I was, you know, really emotional about like, what do I do? Should I change my major? You know, things aren't going as I had thought that they would. And, I was talking to her and she just looked at me and she was like, you need to change your major. And I had known that, you know, kind of like with, Ray and Kylo, like Ray knows that Kylo is like struggling like all the way up to this point. Like, what do I do? Like, I know that he has this proclivity to make the wrong choice. You know, all this stuff. And like, I knew that I needed to change my major. And so I went and I talked to, one of the counselors, like for the major that I thought that I should change to. It's called Human Development and Family Science. I went and talked to her and I sat down in her office and I was like, I'm just gonna be straight with you. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm so good at all these things and I'm not doing well in these classes. Like, I don't understand, but like, I'm really intrigued by this coursework. Like, to me, and she just looks at me and she goes, you know, I was praying someone would come through here, you know, the other day that had this like science background, because a lot of people in this major don't really appreciate like the scientific method and like how we use that to understand people and families and development. There's a whole nutrition and economics unit that I killed those classes, by the way. Killed them. So good. That like a lot of students didn't excel in because they just didn't like get it. And she was like, I think you'd be really good at that. Well, lo and behold, years later, I now have a master's degree in social work. I've published several papers and like that was one of like the most difficult decisions that I made. My parents, by the way, thought that I had lost my mind. They were like, I'm sorry, you're doing what?
Wow.
Like, and you know, like that's hard for them to understand, especially because they hadn't gone to college before and they don't know how common it is for freshmen to change their mind. Now, I was a sophomore, you know, they don't know how common it is for you to change your major.
Right.
Most people change their major like 3 times, but I didn't know that and they didn't know that. And It was so hard because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm derailing my whole life now. I'm going to graduate with this degree that everyone says is like a MRS degree, and like no one's going to want to marry me because I have this degree, and like, what am I going to do, you know? I definitely made the right decision.
I was going to ask, so whenever I ask that question, I ask if you could go back and change it, would you? And so I think it's pretty clear you would not change your decision.
No, and I'm kind of like that in my life. Like, if I could go back at any point, like, I wouldn't. I know, like, when I turned 25, I decided I want to live to make my 50-year-old self proud.
That's awesome.
Like, when I turn 50, I don't want to look back at 25 and go, oh, man, I wish I would have XYZ. I like taken better care of myself. I wish I would have gone on that trip or taken that opportunity. You know, I don't want to look back on my life and have any sort of regret. Because I think how we live our lives and what we do really helps to shape us in the moment. That's awesome. And propel us forward. So, I don't know. I try to live like that.
That's awesome. All right. Any questions you want to ask me? This is your chance. Any one of these that stand out to you as something that you should ask?
What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
I cannot. I really wanted to say Last Jedi for a long time after seeing it. I mean, we've seen it 9 times, 10 times. I love The Last Jedi. I love the idea of failure. And how it's celebrated in that. If I, you know, you see on Facebook, people all the time say, if you could go back and tell your 21-year-old self 2 words, what would you tell them? And every time I see that, I always immediately answer, fail big. Make lots of mistakes. Don't be afraid. Failure's not going to be the end of the world. It's not the end of your life. Fail. Because that's what moves you forward. And so I love that theme that's present. Every single major character in this movie fails at their goal.
Yeah.
With it, there isn't one that succeeds. And so it's, I love that idea. But then as far as just a Star Wars fan goes, mm-hmm. I cannot move past Empire. I remember being at my friend Jamie's house after it came out on VHS because I didn't get to see it in the theater. And watching that with him, and he knew what was going to happen, but he hadn't spoiled it. And so he's waiting for the whole time for us to get to the scene, and I'm losing my mind in his house about this when Darth Vader says that. I'm like, he's lying. He is lying. Oh my God. You know, I'm freaking out about it. And just every time I watch Empire Strikes Back, the dialogue, the acting, the interaction, the music, all of that seems to get better. It's not just the best Star Wars movie for me. It's a fantastic movie. And so that's what I love about it. So yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. I love what you said about failure with The Last Jedi. I love that you identify with that. I was trying, my dad like super hates The Last Jedi.
Oh, okay.
And like, he hates Force Awakens. He doesn't do well with change.
He's a purist. He wants the original trilogy.
He just doesn't do well with change in general.
Okay.
Like, it's cute. It's real cute. my stepmom and I were talking about it, and we were like, oh, God bless him. for those of you who are not from the south of the United States, we say bless your heart a lot.
That's right.
And it's not, like, mean. It's just one of those things where we're like, oh dear. You.
Yeah, God bless her heart. Bless his heart.
No, but I love that you identify with that because I think that's such an interesting story to tell. Mm. What do you do when you fail? Do you move forward? And everyone did for the most part. And I love Luke's story in that. I think his is the most profound to me. I think a lot of people were upset, you know, at it, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's not like the Luke we know. And I'm like, I mean, hello, have you met anybody that was like around his age when that movie came out and like them now?
Yeah,
and like,
exactly.
I'm sorry, they like, as a generation, I research a lot, so like no offense to anybody, but as a generation, like a lot of what he's reflecting as this older adult is reflecting generationally a lot of the same traits. And I love that he learned past that, like these hard experiences, these like really terrible things that he has to overcome. Like he learned against it and found hope and peace. And I was like, wow, what a story.
You know, and he's when Force Awakens ends and we get to The Last Jedi, he's stuck in failure. Yeah. He's the one character in the movie that he's still stuck in that moment at the Jedi Academy where he fails with Kylo and he hasn't left it yet. And part of what I love about the movie is the Yoda interaction that Yoda is telling him, you know, failure is what you've got to be learning. Pass on your failures as well as your victories, because there's such a people are so afraid to fail, and they when they do fail, they get stuck there. And so I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions?
If you were stuck on an island, because that's a hard question, but if you were stuck on an island, what three things would you bring? And you can't answer all three of your other family members.
I was thinking that one. And I think you've picked up on how I think in the podcast, because my first initial thought was Christy, Samuel, and Nathan.
Right? You can bring one of them.
Okay. Well, I can't bring one of them because they're going to all hear this at some point, and if I the other two will be upset. So. I agree with you on my Bible. It's the first thing I do every morning, and so there would be a sense of normalcy and stability with that. And I learn something every time I read it, so it never gets old. So that's good, and that'll help me. Stranded, so I have to use my same rules.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It is hard. Something that I can use for agriculture. I don't know what that would be right now. Probably seeds.
Purpose, like tool.
Yeah. And then something for protection, defense.
Like a ray thing?
If it was a lightsaber, it would be cool. I would be perfectly content. Exactly. Some type of a weapon that I could use to defend myself from animals or savages. You never know. So anyway, yeah, cool.
Well, I mean, if there's going to be savages on the island, I'll make friends with them.
There you go. See, I'm an introvert, so I'd be like, stay away. All right? I'd be like, I need a weapon because I need to keep you.
Really, we need to be on the island together.
There we go. That's right. So that's funny.
I've got all of the, like, people skills, and then I can camp really well.
There you go. And I hate camping, and I don't like – I love people, but I love them usually in their own homes. So that's why I podcast. So anyway, I can do that.
You're really glad I'm in Georgia right now.
You know what? I can turn this off. Although I've got, like, two more of these I'm supposed to do tonight, so I'll be emotionally and mentally drained by the end of this, all these conversations that I'm having today. So, so all right. Well, cool. Megan, I know that you've got a lot of things in your life that you do, and taking an hour or so with us doing this was definitely something that means a lot to us. And I'm excited. I think that we had some fun conversations, also some conversations that'll make people think. So that's the whole goal. So I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being a supporter of Tatooine Sons. It means a great deal to us. So.
Me too.
So there's our interview with Megan. I thought that was a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. A lot of different things happened. I think the part where the dog and the cat started fighting behind her on the Skype was probably one of the most bizarre moments in that entire interview. But we're really excited about Megan being a Patreon supporter of ours. And I encourage you, if you're not a Patreon supporter, we talked about her being a Jedi Master. That's our $10 a month level. She's been at that level for a while now. I encourage you to go to our page. Go to patreon.com/TatooineSons, S-O-N-S, and take a look on the right side of the different levels. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as a dollar pledge per month, and we will send you a handwritten thank you note and some stickers and some different things like that. And from there, it's just the sky's the limit. And you get to control how you support Tatooine Sons and our podcast. And we would really, truly appreciate it. If you value family-friendly Star Wars content, then we would ask you to consider supporting Tatooine Sons. Also, follow us on our different social media accounts. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, at Tatooine Sons. If you look us up on Facebook, just Google or just search it, Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S. And you can also get all of that from our website, TatooineSons.com. We're on YouTube as well. We would really appreciate it if you'd follow us there. And of course, if you have not subscribed to this or to our weekly podcast, we encourage you to do that. We're available on every podcast service that's out there. Blog Talk Radio, of course, is where we host, and we're so grateful to Blog Talk Radio to be a part of their offerings. But we're also on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spreaker, we're on all of the different services that are out there, Podbean, whatever you can think of, we're on it. And then the last thing I want to make sure you know about is our daily Star Wars podcast. We actually have what we call Tatooine Sons Holonet. It is a separate podcast feed. It is a daily 3-minute or so update on the latest in Star Wars news. There's no spoilers. There's no commentary. The goal is just to make sure that you can, while you're cooking breakfast in the morning, brushing your teeth, shaving, whatever you're doing, you can go ahead and just get that. If you're an Alexa user, this is actually really geared towards you. You can go in and set us up as a flash briefing. Just search Tatooine Sons, and you will be able to see our offering, our feed, and then add that to your flash briefings. And then every morning when you get up, you can say, Alexa, play my flash briefings, and Tatooine Sons will give you the latest in Star Wars news. So we want to make sure you know about that. I guess that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to this first episode of 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. And if you can say that 5 times fast, maybe we'll send you a sticker or something like that. But thank you guys so much. We hope that you guys will listen to this weekend's broadcast, that you'll subscribe to Tatooine Sons Holonet. And then we will talk to you guys again next week for another interview. Next week, we have Peter Ross, who's a member of the 501st out of Toronto and an awesome, awesome guy, a dad. He really relates, I think, we related to him as far as sharing Star Wars fandom with his kids. And so I think you'll look forward to that one. Thanks, guys. May the Force be with you. Yeah, please.